This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about our Beavers' ground and pound victory on Saturday.
Dude, they bludgeoned them.
Against Purdue.
Look, I mean, we know, we learned about Oregon State is, you know, they're not anywhere near, an Oregon level, but not many people are from a talent standpoint. But, you know, when it comes to the San Diego States and the Purdue's of the world, the Oregon State can shove it down your throat. So, I mean, by no means is this a great team, but, you know, they do one thing really well. And, I mean, the score doesn't even indicate how close or how lopsided that game even was. I mean, they bludgeoned Purdue.
You know that Purdue, so there are 134, basically FBS teams.
Yeah.
Do you know where Purdue ranks in rush defense?
I'm guessing right near the very bottom.
134th.
Yeah. So.
And it's not even close. 133rd is Kent State.
Jeez.
They are giving up 319 yards per game on the ground. Purdue gives up 352.
Yeah. And I think that's ultimately, the problem that the Bees have is when they see someone like Purdue, who's, think about it, Purdue's going to be getting like $90 million and Oregon State's going to get like eight in the pack, whatever this 12 is. And that's the part that pisses them off. So, I mean, the Beavs still can have a good year. I mean, but look, the way they throw the ball, look, they're, you know, they are what they are. The nice thing for Oregon State fan, I think Washington State fan going forward too, is you don't have to, like, this idea that was always like, well, you got to win pretty and you got to, you know, get people to pay attention to you. No, you don't. Those, it's over. That's done. You're moving forward. You're building the Pac-12 and, you know, you just need to kind of settle into the reality of where you're at and hope that you can just continue to build a really solid program that gets 2 and 3-star kids and works the transfer portal well, you know, homegrown talent. The only problem with that, did you see, I'll see if I can pull up the graph, but the group of five this year, even though, you know, Boise State's a nice team, the group of five is having a historically bad season against the power four.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah.
Because they've had several upsets.
Yeah, they've had some upsets. But again, there was an article maybe 4 or 5 days ago that I saw. And some of the power, the group of five or group of six coaches were saying, this is our fear, is that we're becoming a minor league system for the big boys. And it's there's still always going to be some teams that are quality teams. And that's what you're trying to be if you're Washington State and Oregon State, is be that Boise State team. But for the rest of it, that gap is starting to widen.
You know, you bring up an interesting point that, you know, Purdue will be making, what'd you say, like 90 million?
It's like million? 90 million.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Nine times what Oregon State will make?
Something like that, yeah.
And yet, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going, you know, I don't think anything's going to change with Purdue.
No, probably not.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's like, we talk about this,
they're not very good.
Just widening gap. It's just like, a lot of these schools, they're going to be the exact same.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be mostly doormats in their leagues, these big leagues. And every once in a while, you get a special quarterback, coach, whatever. Yeah. Maybe a veteran-laden team that rises up and wins 10 games. That's really it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Nothing will change. The shrinking of the haves versus the have-nots, yeah, that's not going to change the fates.
Because it's kind of already,
it's already
that way.
Yes.
Which is another reason why we've been saying Oregon State, you know, it's always been this way. You've always been the little guy.
The difference is that schools like Oregon State and Washington State traditionally have done a better job of competing at the higher levels. But also at the same time, to Oregon State and Washington State fan that are like, this is ridiculous. We don't have a chance to win. You never had a chance to win a national championship. Like, that's not, you know, I guess Oregon State came the closest that year with the Fiesta Bowl team. But, you know, it just, when you run into the real haves, the Ohio States and the Alabamas of the world, that gap has always been there. But it's just the idea of the inequity of the thing, because you don't deserve it because you're better programs than a lot of the schools that, because of where they were at, they got grandfathered in.
That's right. Yeah. But it's always been unequal is the thing.
But I saw that sentiment on social media over the weekend just from Beaver fan. Like, look, we just took them behind the woodshed. Like, we've got this totally covered, and we don't get that thing. It's terrible.
And that's the thing, is it doesn't matter. You can, that's like me screaming about taxes. You can yell and scream about it, but none of those things are changing. No one's kicking Purdue out of the Big Ten to bring you in.
No, of course not.
So,
but you look at it almost like if it were through a promotion relegation looking glass, like soccer or something like that, you could say, well, we could have that spot. Obviously, that doesn't work like that.
And that's why I'm hoping that at least with the rebuild into the Pac-12 and forming kind of the new Mountain West here, that you can just start eventually to put some of that stuff behind you and just move forward.
Well, it's, again, I go back to it. I keep saying it every week, but I keep looking at the Beaver schedule going, this is kind of fun. You know, they're 3-1. Now they play Colorado State, Nevada, UNLV, and Cal. Those are their next four.
Yeah.
Tell me they can't be 7-1. I'm not saying they will be. I'm just saying, tell me they can't be.
Yeah.
Of course they can.
Sure.
And that's the fun of playing this type of schedule.
Yes. Where if you played a Big Ten schedule, you know, look, the Ohio States of the world and the Oregons of the world, that's going to be an old-fashioned
bludgeon. Yeah, it's like you can just lay out the games you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Here, you can't.
No.
It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. They will play BYU, as we mentioned, in the Hot Five, mm-hmm. 2027, 2028. So the Beavers for next year. So next year's weird because they originally signed with the Mountain West, the scheduling agreement with Mountain West, but like they're doing this year.
But they couldn't get another year under it.
So they're doing the Mountain West scheduling thing this year, but next year they've bagged that, so they have to just kind of play as an independent next year. Mm-hmm. They currently on their schedule, they have, this is Oregon State I'm talking about, they have Cal, mm-hmm. Oregon, Texas Tech, Wake Forest, Fresno State, Houston, and Washington State.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a pretty fun schedule.
Sure.
So they have five more they got to fill there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you throw in, you know, you got a couple of the Power Fours, the lower level ones, you got the big one with Oregon, and you know, it depends on where you go. I don't know if you're Oregon State. Does it even benefit you unless you're just looking for a payday? Does it look you to go with another big game?
Like, I don't think so.
I don't think so. You know, look, it again, not being in a group of five, true conference, you're not making the playoff next year. It's not happening. So, I don't know. Do you want to just try to put together some wins, or do you want to see them go after and try to schedule a game on a quote neutral site against an LSU or against an Alabama, someone like that? I don't know where that fan base is. Or do you try to load it up with just some W's and try to put together a 10-win season?
Well, I think it's kind of cool that Barnes or whoever does it gets to schedule like for next year.
Yeah.
You know, because it used to be in college football, you would schedule something for 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
And then you'd have your conference games that you knew you were playing, so you really wasn't. So there's a lot of heavy lifting going on here with scheduling.
I will warn you from a scheduling standpoint, BYU went independent for a couple years. It's tough.
Yeah. Because I think that the ones we just read there
are good.
That's a pretty tough. I think they need to mix in some cupcakes.
I think it's, well, and I think you're going to have to, because at this late notice, you're not going to get a home and away with anyone of particular substance. It wouldn't shock me if the remaining games are going to be the Portland States and the directional schools. I don't know how many other big schools are going to be signing one game entities,
well,
or maybe you do several home and aways that start, you know, and continue into your new Pac-12 schedule. But I would think that the schedule is going to be a little softer after those teams that we just read off.
And I think it should be, is what I'm saying, because I feel like you already got Oregon on there, Texas Tech, Houston, Washington State, not easy games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's kind of fun to look at this because, you know,
this show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Generally what these teams have, it's not like 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
And then you got Cal, Fresno, or I mean Wake Forest. You know, so yeah, they need some, got to mix in some Portland States, man.
Yeah.
Got to get some dubs.
You know, look at it. Like I said, there were a couple years when BYU was doing it that you looked at their schedule and it was kind of like, oh my God, they had like four or five games that you were scared. You're like, geez. And then you looked at the rest of it and it was, you know, Coastal, Southwestern, School of the Blind. And you were like, eh. But then, you know, it's when you're scheduling, you know, four games against teams that you are going to be significant underdogs against, you know, it's nice to make sure you got some W's on
there. Isn't it kind of fun to do an independent schedule because these are teams you don't normally see?
Yeah.
And
it was fun.
Just kind of interesting to play, I don't know, Wake Forest. Well, maybe not Wake Forest, but you know what I mean. BYU. That's a cool game.
Yeah, like one year for BYU, we played Arizona and Cal and Wisconsin, which was like cool, right? You're like, oh, hell yeah. And then we got McNeese. We got NIU. We got UMass. We got New Mexico State, like Western Michigan. You're like, oh. You know, and that was kind of the way that schedule went. It was four to five teams that you were excited to play, one that usually scared the living dickens out of you because you were going to get the breaks beat off of you, and then you played you played McNeese State.
A couple of leftovers from the weekend. I see where Iowa's offense is averaging 29 points per game.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So you can climb out of their ass for a while.
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
If only Kirk Ferentz had done this sooner with some of those defenses, Iowa might actually been in the playoff.
They're 52nd in scoring.
Hey, if you're Iowa, I don't know if you've ever been better.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mentioned the Power 4 team that is sneaky in shambles, Auburn.
Oh. What do they got?
Well, they suck.
They do suck. I'm not saying Cal's actually pretty good this year, but yeah.
Auburn is 6-19 in their last 25 games against Power Conference teams.
Ooh.
They're panicking in Auburn. And Hugh Freeze, nobody likes Hugh Freeze.
Well, they already canned Boise State guy, and then they went and got Hugh Freeze, and that's not necessarily working out. And Hugh Freeze is kind of a yutz anyways.
That's what I said. Nobody likes him.
Yeah, and Auburn's one of those jobs, too, that because of Cam Newton and you won a national title and you've had some special years, you know, Auburn can be good. Auburn's a sneaky hard job because you're not Alabama, you're not LSU, but you have those same sort of expectations. And I'll bet you if we looked at Auburn year to year, I'll bet you there's this, you know, before like Heupel came along, Tennessee was kind of like this. You know, it's you can win there, but it is not a cakewalk. I'm gonna look this up, see how many years that Auburn's had where it's like, look out there. They've had some nice runs. Yeah, look at this. So this is Auburn. So they're 2-2 this year, 6-7, 5-7, 6-7, 6-5. There's 9-4, 8-5, 10-4, 7-6, 8-5. There's 12-2, 3-9, 8-5. There's the 14-0. Cam Newton, right?
Gene Chizik.
Yeah, 8-5, 5-7, like. And that's going back to, you know, 2007.
Not that great.
It's not that great. It's just that you had the
back Terry Bowden.
You had that 14-0 year where you won a national title, and after that it was like, hey, Auburn. You know, well, since then you've had one. Since they won a national title in 2010, they've had two 10-win seasons. You know, that ain't great.
And as one of our texters points out on the Vancouver 4 text line, Auburn, Oklahoma, somehow only a 2.5-point spread because they both kind of suck.
Yeah. I'll take Oklahoma in that.
Four unbeatens in the ACC as well. Just wanted to point out Miami, Louisville, Pitt, and Duke are all unbeaten so far. And each of them has a veteran transfer quarterback at the helm.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just going to, that's the norm.
That's the new thing.
That's the new thing in college football.
Except for Dylan Raiola, baby.
Except he's lost.
Yeah, they lost.
He looks pretty good, though.
Yeah, he does. They're in good hands with him. And you see his brother? He has a brother named Dayton.
Yeah, that looks shockingly like
Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah, they're doing bits out there. The Raiola family. It's weird.
Dayton committed to Nebraska as well.
Yeah, it's strange.
So
what,
Mahomes'
what does he play?
I don't know.
I think he's also a quarterback.
He's also a QB. Yeah, it's weird. It is. It's very, 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 very strange.
Who is next in line after Oakland for cities that have the most to complain about? That's next. Here's Buckley.